This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, how well do you truly understand yourself and the people that you work with? Are you going beyond the surface-level interactions and diving into personal development? Hey, Carm here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. And in this Town Hall Academy, my panel not only discusses the different strength finder assessments, but also the why that drives and motivates different personalities within your business. This is a very important episode. Now, thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing you this episode. Now, joking aside, it's not just the kids who are addicted to their phones. You know, we buy food and almost everything else with a few quick clicks. Why not auto repair? Shopware's digital repair order makes it easy for customers to click yes. Learn more at GetShopware.com. Hey, you know, lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Well, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. On the web at GetBroadly.com/chat. Who's with me? Shari Pheasant. It's been a while, Shari. Glad to have you back. Shari Pheasant, shop owner of A Master Mechanic in Reno, Nevada, and the CEO of IAmHorsepower.com. It's a company that builds and grows and inspires company culture from the inside out.
It's all about getting naked and getting on the inside, Carm.
Yeah, getting naked and getting on the inside. And I know you want to cover that later, but I guess we should warn our audience that that's coming.
That was my little prelim. Like, she said the word naked.
Very good. Sean Gilfillan, shop owner, Automotive Magic in Kenville and Lake Hopatcong, New Jersey. Did I say that right this time?
Hopatcong,
yeah, golly. All right, well, thank you. Thanks for being here, Sean. And Dave Luhr is here from Elite Body Shop Solutions, the limitless entrepreneur, speaker, coach, and author. Hello, Dave.
Hello, great to be here again. Nice to meet you, Sean and Shari.
So it was a few weeks ago that Sean and I were just on the phone jabbering, actually meeting each other for the first time, and we were talking about strengths and the fact that him and I both did the Clifton Strengths Finders test. It's really sponsored by Gallup. And so I had to go get mine out, and Sean was telling me about his, and it was fun to listen to someone who was using this kind of test or assessment in his business. And I said, you know, we got to get together. And we've got to do an episode on it, because we've done episodes on DISC. Shari, you may have been in one of them in the past, and everyone uses some form of understanding communication styles amongst people. And I know we're going to talk about DISC today. And so thank you, Sean, for motivating me to get the remainder of all my strengths and or challenges, because you can call every strength. There's always a dark side of every strength. Sometimes you go overboard on it. But this week, I printed out all 34 of my Clifton, if you will, in the order from 1 to 34. And I was really surprised by some of them. And in fact, I fell in love with my top 10. I fell in love with my top 5, but now I'm in love with my top 10 and trying to focus on that, because that's what I do good. We know this group knows the power of being able to understand your team and building that synergy. So, Shari, the impact of building a people-first culture is so much of what you do.
When I go into a company, I'm an investment, not an expense, and I'm an investment in their profitability. So a business's number one job is to make money. And quite frankly, your best asset in your business to make that money is your people. And the gap that I found over the 32 years of entrepreneurism is just that, is we focus on the wrong things at the wrong time and the wrong fashion. And so people are your best brand ambassadors. And now with the great resignation, they are demanding personal and professional development. And that doesn't mean you want to get too close. So how do you do that? And that is about delivering and understanding the impact that you can have in your business. And it really goes down to your profit. 100%. Your people are your profit.
I don't think in the 1,000 or so episodes that I've done, I've never heard it put that way. It's brilliant.
Directly. Oh, that's my high doer driver. Hi.
That's powerful.
It's a funny story. I took an assessment maybe 20 years ago. I went to a seminar where they It was kind of disc PDP-ish, and the envelope was in front of us. We never saw our results until we went into the experts, this PhD, to teach us what it meant and how we could be, as leaders of our business, better HR people. So here's the envelope. I started to open it, and I'll never forget it. Her name was Dr. Rosine. She goes, sorry, please don't open that. You weren't told to do that. Right away, she knew what kind of person that I was, right? Got to get to the meat. So when she finally opened it and I'm reading this and I'm going through these pages and I'm shaking my head and she's watching me, I could tell. And then finally I said, oh my God. And she goes, why did you say that? And I says, these are all the things my wife says about me and I keep telling her she's wrong.
Right.
I can
relate to that. I can definitely relate to that. 2010, I was given a new position it was a five-store MSO. It was a body shop chain here in the Middle Tennessee area. The owner of this business wanted me to take all five locations through a massive, what we call lean transformation, right? We were going to take this whole organization and turn it upside down on its head and change it. And I was the guy picked to do it. And immediately I found nothing but resistance. It was a much, much more difficult task than I ever imagined, right? And my background was process. I could take any body shop or mechanic shop and make it operate better. But this place had been in business since 1967 and it wasn't gonna change. So I had to reach out for help. And I remembered a friend of mine recommending a company called Leader's Way. And this guy named Kevin Wolf, very great leadership coach and a mentor of mine. So I reach out to this guy. He says, Dave, I can help you with your problem. I can help you take this company through the transformation that you want, but I need you to do this thing for me. I need you to take an assessment. It's called a TTI assessment or Trimetrics. And I go, I don't know what it is, but if it'll help, I'll take it. So he wouldn't even talk to me until I took this assessment, right? And I took it and scheduled the debriefing a few days later. And, you know, the D, you know, in the DISC assessment, you know, which is for dominance, I was like a 9.5 on the scale. And I thought that's cool. That just means I get a lot of stuff done, probably.
Oh, boy, I'll take exception to that.
Yeah, no, I got schooled that day, Carm. The interesting thing about the DISC assessment, you know, once you get above like a 7 or an 8 on a score from 0 to 10, you don't always see yourselves as others see you. And apparently, some people didn't see me as the nicest guy. In fact, my idol at the time was Gordon Ramsay. And apparently that's how some people saw me, but I didn't see myself that way. And I couldn't understand why I continually ran into resistance. So I was destroyed. I was gutted by this debriefing with this guy. And I go home and I tell my wife about it. And you know what she says? She laughed at me, first of all. And then she says, Dave, why do you think I can't even stand to be in the kitchen with you?
I love her. I love her and I want to meet her.
I thought you might. Through that pain of self-discovery where I was able to start working on me and understanding how my interactions with people mattered.
And you saw your blind spots, right? By the way, my Dewar driver is a 10. I can get it down to a 9.4. Is that a 9.2? I'm lying. I have lied just to see if I can do that. Just saying. So it's there, but absolutely every style has blind spots and overextensions where if we're not in control, if we're not disciplined, if we're not working to bridge the gap to get to somebody else's style, right? That's really what we should do. Here naturally, we, by the way, that is the exact assessment that I use. It is the best globally in the whole world. So it is fabulous. So I'm honored and that you are on that same page. You use that as well.
I've used Trimetrics, but I also use another, it's a competing product. It's almost identical called Spectrum Assessments.
Yeah. Very good.
Which was created by the same people that created Trimetrics, from what I understand, at least. Yeah.
Carm here. Now coming up, find out the story behind Sean's interview process with 7 potential new hires, all in one room. You know, when you started in business, did you really think that cars would be driving themselves and that people would be buying cars online without even test driving them? Well, I don't think any of us did, and yet that's exactly what's going on. On the repair side, the auto industry is changing fast. Customers expect quick answers and proof that they need the repairs you recommend. They want to pay you while buying a coffee and then rate you on Yelp after picking up their keys. So why stay in the past? A shop owner named Carolyn asked herself the same question, so she created an online shop management system that automates the stuff you do over and over again. She and her team added texting and every step in the process from booking your appointments to posting that stellar review. They learn from their customers just like you learn from yours. And it's the system that's leading the industry into a bright future. Check it out at GetShopware.com. Did you know there's actually a best time to ask a customer for an online review? It's true. According to Broadly, asking for a review right after service is key. Think about it. That's when the car looks good and the customer is happy and in the best frame of mind to give you a good review. And all those good reviews, well, that's what's going to get the attention of people who search for auto shops online and get you even more customers coming into your shop. Do you have a company helping you out with reviews? Do they make sure each customer is being asked to leave you a review? Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system. Help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. So guys, the key here is if you understand yourself, that's great. But you also have to understand the people you work with, because you cannot have your conversation with someone who, for example, is a high I. They're going to walk away not really remembering what you asked them to get done. They're just going to remember how they were treated. And I'm a high I, and I was working for a high D.
Yeah, he's like, Carm, can you just quit talking, please? Let's get some work done around here.
And I have a great story to tell, and I won't tell it today in this episode, but how the evolution of, you know, we ended up respecting each other so much we found middle ground.
So, Carm, I have one of my partners in my business. She's a high I, and she's late is her middle name. And because she's involved in 15 other things, squirrel, right? That's the high I, the connector. And so she would arrive and I was ready to start business. And so I started business. And you could see it would really turn her off. And because we're in this was 4 or 5 years ago. And when we first really started digging into this work ourselves as a team. And I said, oh my gosh, let's look at this. And so now what I started doing was I gave her 10 minutes. I don't care when she gets here. We have 10 minutes to connect, what's going on, et cetera. And then is it time? Can we get into the results now? Can we get into business? And she says, yes. So now we're both on the same page, because the beauty is we're gapping. I'm leaning into her gap. She's leaning into my gap, and it works. And there's nothing worse than misdiagnosing who people are. So we need to use science, because who you think you are, like Dave, you said earlier, is not really what it is. And, you know, why waste time and money? Why not get into the real truth of it? Like, my husband's a high S. He was diagnosed by somebody else as a high doer driver, D, instead of a supporter. So I treated him like that. Our relationship was a mess. It was a mess until I realized he was a supporter out of control, which acts like a doer driver. And so when I went to his truth, it resonated better.
Amazing the way you said that. And I think it's important. I'm a high I with D above the line. So I have ID. And he was kind of the opposite. And we met in that common ground. And once I understood how I had to really learn to treat people, I have incredible stories of the blunders that I made because I never knew how to learn to treat people. So, Sean, explain to me how you bought the book for everyone and they're all going to go through it.
I took it for the first time in 2011. One of the two top ones were competition and achiever. Getting to know myself, those were the things that were having me as a shop owner really not have anybody be able to come up in the shop and really take on being owner or taking on that leadership role. Cause I was beating everybody. Yep. Literally, like, I had to win at everything. I had to be the best tech, the best at selling. I'd make people wrong and just on and on and on, and not really recognizing that until you start to dive in and work on it. And I got to tell you, I didn't think anything was going to be different, but I said, 9 years later, I retook the test and those two moved out into the 20s.
Wow.
That was a conversation we were having a few weeks ago. And it was like, I've kind of really been working on getting to know myself and how I come across and where I really want to take this business is to the point where there are people running and managing these locations that have the same belief that I do. We take care of people. We provide value, and money's really just a byproduct of what we do. As I started to work on myself, I was sharing with some of the people on the team. And at the time, my manager, I had him do the test as well. But, you know, trying to get the technician in the back that's out there fixing the car, it's like, I don't have time for that. You know, it's just like 200 questions or something, right? And really what I think pushed it over the limit where we got to really involve our people was sharing it during our weekly meetings. Like, this is what we're up to. And I want to share with you guys those four buckets, right? You got, I believe it's executing, influencing, strategic thinking, and relationship building. When you got a service advisor that doesn't have relationship building, it's not going to work real well. And just knowing those positions in the shop, or when you do have a tech that's competitive, that guy's going to go out there and try to bill more hours than everybody else. And he might be a bulldozer, right? Another term for somebody that always had a win, really having everybody align on the same strengths. So when we took the grid and we put everybody's name on the grid and put everybody's top 5 or 10 strengths on the grid, where do we have the overlap?
I like that.
The overlap is really where, okay, let's look at achiever. There's 6 of us in my organization that are achievers. So during our meeting, we'd kind of go through the Strength Finder book and read, what does the achiever look like? What does an achiever work well with? Yes, it's in the executing bucket. What are we executing on in our prospective areas? What's been nice lately, I've had 2 new members come onto our team and both have a strength in individualization, which is my favorite. It's been my number 2 all 3 times that I've taken the test or assessment. So getting to be able to see from the outside, who are the right people to put together? How do you make them work together? How do you, you know, whose strengths are going to work with the next person's strengths? And this has been something that's really been cool. A lot of strategy in our shop as well. So those few top ones sharing with each other really got the interest going. And that's where now every new employee comes on within the first week they're there. We bring them in and we introduce them to the team with their strengths.
Sean, do you have a waiting list yet for people to work for you?
We're working on that. We got quite a few applicants, but we're working on the second location right now.
Perfect, because professional development is what they're looking for. And that's this right. is it, right? Fortune yeah. 500 companies have been utilizing this methodology for years. It's just getting into early adopter stage. And it's really important. The Great Resignation, this is a way to avoid it. And you can put 2 weeks vacation out front. You can talk about flexible time and workspace. It's really hard to be a remote tech. So how else do you do it? And it's professional development. Yeah. I have a company that is growing like crazy. I'm getting ready to certify 12 HR directors in casinos because wow. they're going to start using it. It's huge right now.
That's good. I love, Sean, what you're doing with the mapping. Now I'm fairly new to Strengths Finder, but look, I have the book.
All right.
And ironically, an employee bought this for me, thought I would find it interesting. And I do. We also do, like, in the disc world, mapping exercises where the team can be real transparent with each other to see how they line up on a mapping exercise. I think this is something Carm's familiar with too, but what a great way to get people to know each other, you know, as a high D, but what a terrific way to help people understand each other and why they may not always like each other, you know, like as a high D, you know, I'm the guy that gets on the elevator and sees somebody coming down the hall and I'm pushing the button for the door.
Close the door.
Right. And then Carb's the guy that gets on the elevator, sees somebody coming down the hall and he holds the door open for him. So he's got somebody to talk to on the way up.
Perfect.
Totally.
Exactly. And yet DISC is above the water, right? That's observable behaviors. That's communication styles, that type of thing. I think we're getting more into in the assessment world, and that was your TriMetrics, Dave, was into the why. Why are you here? Like, For me, it's about being intentional. It's about being an efficient and receptive to new ideas and objective. Does it function? Where other people might be altruistic. And so that's another continuum that you can use in your driving forces. So I think that there's more sciences. I think StrengthFinders is fantastic about understanding that what your guides are, your strengths are. But I also believe we need to look at behaviors. We need to use science to dig in. It's time to get naked, get real. That's what it's about. The naked is transparency. Yeah. That's exactly what the workforce is looking for, is transparency, right conversations, and differences. And this is the only way we're going to get there.
It's like that question, who am I?
Okay, let's get naked.
Yes.
Oh. Shari first.
This is the only girl on.
Oh, all right.
Basically, we need to uncover who it is that we are and respect each other's form of communication. In my early days, guys, I was always so frustrated. I'd walk into my D's office and he'd lift up his, you know, look at his watch and he wouldn't give me more than 4 minutes. Yet I had this huge responsibility under him to lead an incredibly large team. And I was new to the company. I had sold my business to them. And I was trying to forge my way under a D who didn't necessarily give me a whole lot of, you know, guidance. Yet he's one of the guys I most respect today as a business person, but I had to learn. Part of the problem was me.
I think it's both, right? It only takes one person to change a relationship. However, both people have to be participating in it, right? Like if someone comes in to change, I remember working for a big national consultant. He had closed his company 3 times before in bankruptcy. And when I came in, there was one difference, but being the high doer driver, like you talk about, Carm, it's all about them. And that's not going to work anymore. I've watched different companies here locally not open because they don't have enough employees to open with. And that's about culture. And it is, culture starts in the interview. I think that's something we talked about in a previous episode. And it is about your people, like, and we're complicated. Like StrengthFinders, here's some of the graphs. You'll recognize those from the Trimetrics, Dave, right? So it's your acumen. By the way, I was playing. I was goofing around with the world. I was messing around. I do mess around with them. But there's my drivers, right? My competencies and stuff. And so what I love to do with people is let them know it's a journey. It's not, I love, Sean, that you're working it with your team every week and you're reading together. It's not going to happen overnight. Now, I've changed teams in a day. We do a one-day team training. We get naked. We get real and we dig in, and it's really about you. And we just put everything out there, and it's like standing in the mirror. Look, you're not going to change it. You can suck it in. You can pick a position that it looks better in, but you can't hold it forever. And the workforce knows it. Like, we aren't looking for 5-star reviews anymore, are we? I hope not, because people don't believe them anymore. They want the real truth, and the real truth that's transparent is not perfect. It's just progress. And so I think that's a big move that we need to make.
It's almost like rate your customer experience. Listen, there's some people that give, you know, 10-star experiences. And I'm not sure if that word review is the right word to use.
But I don't look at the 5-star ones. Don't you go? I go to the 3-star. I want to see how they handled the problem. Right? Because I'm not going to say I have a problem with them, but if I do, that's really when their culture, their integrity level, how they do business is going to concern me. And I think that's what the educated public is doing now. They're checking for that. And I believe that is the employee. The educated employee is looking at the leadership. Look, no one's leaving the business. And if they're telling you they're leaving because of money, I'm sorry, it's bullshit. I don't mean but I'm just going to lay that word out there. That's not true. What they're doing is they're telling you that because now they're leaving. It's your problem and they don't want to own it anymore. You're not listening as a leader. So they're going to tell you that, so you leave them alone.
We're talking about a lot of high-level stuff here. We're talking about Trimetrics. We're talking about Clifton. We're talking about DISC. And someone is sitting out there saying, wonderful, I'm bought in. How do I do this? So it's cliftonstrengths.com. And I know that Tony Robbins on his site used to have a DISC assessment on his resources page. I'm not sure it's still there.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does. I've had people that take that and take ours, though, and it's a lot more accurate. You got to be careful with online discs. There's a lot of them out there you can find, but it hasn't been trademarked. So be careful.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the disc is only really a component of really getting to understand somebody. And while it's so important to put people in positions that they're behaviorally a good match for, I'm as much or more interested in what their values and motivators are. Now, under a TriMetrics report, the terminology is slightly different than what we use at Spectrum. We've got leadership, return on investment, aesthetics, guiding principles, helping others, peace and harmony, knowledge and discovery. Those are the things that, as we debrief people on these on these scores, if you will, this is what we consider gets that person out of bed. If you really want to understand how to, you know, motivate somebody, you have to understand what intrinsically motivates them. And it's usually not money, guys.
Revealing human potential, and it requires accuracy, be data driven. We could work together for a year. You're going to tell me what you want me to think, just like in an interview. You tell me what you think you want to be and what you want me to hear so you get the job. It's not right. You get the job and the honeymoon's over 6 months later because you aren't good in a chaotic environment. You can't answer 15 phones at a time while handling technicians, right? And having the owner yell at you to sweep the floor or whatever that is. And so it's really important to be data driven. Otherwise, you're wasting your money and our time, those of us that teach this, right? And it sounds really blunt, but here's what it is. There's always more money to find. There's never more time. And so those of us in this work are typically really passionate about our work, and we want to make a change in the world. That's why we're here. We can find money from 15 other companies, but we want the companies that are going to make the change, because we believe that people first cultures are exactly what this world needs more now than ever before, but for the last 50 years. Because look, communication has been a problem for 50 years. Do we still hear that, everybody? So what the heck? It's not about communication. It's about the right conversation.
Yeah, I want to hear what Sean's, because he's building it, this kick-ass company. And congratulations, by the way, on that. But I really want to hear some of your steps and your philosophies on the interview process, because we all know that some people interview great and they just don't show up. What's your philosophy? How do you find the best people?
Sure. The most recent hire we did lose an employee. He had a heart attack back in May. He was our general manager. He was running a shop day to day. And for me, that was one of the moments where all this really came to work for me. All this self-discovery and understanding myself and how not to get caught back in a rabbit hole of jumping back in and taking over the job that now immediately needs to be filled. I was fortunate to have some other shop owners locally. Russ from Russ's Wrench, Russ Crosby, a very good friend of mine. My family and I were ready to go on vacation. And this happened like 2 weeks before we're leaving for Dominican Republic. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And he stepped up and ran my shop for 2 weeks. Fortunately, we had the same point of sale software, the same, you know, digital inspection.
That's a friend. So that's a like true friend right there.
Jump in. Awesome human being, great guy. And we all here in New Jersey, we kind of, quite a few of us work on our cultures at our shops, right? So those hiring practices really start in that group atmosphere. And you bring five or six people. We had seven people come into our parts room. We kind of jammed them all in there. You know, some people are in suits from the dealership, and you know, we're looking for somebody to run the day-to-day operations. And some people are dressed differently. It was just a whole conglomerate of different people, the way they showed up, right? And I laid it on a line. I said, this is what our shop's been doing. This is what we're chasing. Here's the numbers we're going for. This is what it's going to take. We're opening up a second location here come early next year. And I need somebody to come in and fill this spot. And you could see the interaction between them. I think the key was watching the potential candidates go around the table. I specifically would ask questions and see how they answered, and then see the reactions on other people's faces as we went around the room. And it was really reading the people.
Just the fact that you had seven candidates says a lot about your culture.
It was really cool. I mean, my wife and I are making the appointments for that while we're in Dominican Republic, right? So we were still working down there, whether you like it or not. Work never stops. But I think the outcome was the coolest part was there was a one gentleman there that specifically would just kept talking over everybody or having to throw his two cents in. And in the moment, I just stopped him. I put my hand on a desk. I said, look, you got to stop cutting off. We'll get to you when it's your turn. I said, and now that we're going to go around the room, we're going to end at you. So I let him go last, right? But it was definitely exactly what I said, not sure, but it was more on the lines of, you know, the most important thing for a service advisor to be able to do is to listen to people. And you're really not doing good on this interview.
Did he get the job, Sean?
No, he did not. He was the first one to walk out the door when I gave everybody the opportunity for that one-to-one interaction afterwards, right? And I did it based on the time that they showed up. So I had my wife at the front counter checking everybody in, and we just kept, you know, one person in the room, then the next person into the room, then the next person in the room. They're all kind of looking around like, what's going on here? What is this kind of interview? And Russ Crosby was actually there as well. And we did have two other employees that were a part of it, you know, just kind of one-on-one conversations as this thing was going on while I was having a one-to-one with the first person there or the third person there. The other people were out kind of chit-chatting with each other just to kind of really feel them out. And I mean, once you understand how this stuff works, the level of emotional intelligence that people have nowadays, like you said, Shari, it's needed out there. You need to, personal development is such a missing in the world.
I just want to congratulate you though. What a great way that you worked the interview with everybody interviewing them and how you did those things and how you're stepping out, Sean. I think that you're a leader in your field to be doing that. And there's other shop owners like that. And I just want to acknowledge that. I think it's really fabulous.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Guys, I got to make a comment because I know there's naysayers out there that are going to listen and saying, oh, this is much more too sophisticated for me. I just want to fix cars. But this is what is necessary to grow a great culture and a great business and motivate your people and hire the best and keep the best and then take care of your people. They take care of your customers.
How many texts are you wanting texts or are you filled with texts? You're good. You have enough texts?
Right now we have enough, but we are building a bench for the second location. So we're interviewing.
Okay. So what you just said to me is you have enough texts. We're in an industry where everybody, right, Carm, complains. We don't have enough texts. We don't have enough workforce. Where are they? Sean's good. That's because of your culture. That's because of your leadership. It's 100% because you're putting people first. Yay.
And you know, I have had, technicians and or other employees through the years as we started to develop ourselves personally, people that didn't want to confront themselves or let's say get to know themselves. And I do my best to try to guide and coach along. But if like, look, if you don't want to make a change for yourself, I'm not going to fight you. You can succeed someplace else.
Part of the point that I was making just a few moments ago for anyone observing from the outside that says this is a little too headsy or sophisticated for me has got to stop and look yourself in the mirror and say, you could go to work for somebody, turn wrenches, and it's a whole lot easier. You may even make more money, or you have to take it up about 25 notches. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do, is to get these kinds of stories told. Sean, you buy the book, you sit down, you read it, you take the test, and you talk about it, and everybody gets together. A movement like this is making a profound difference and growing our industry from the top 10% just 5 years ago to now the leadership, the top 20%. And if we keep doing these kinds of things to grow a very sophisticated business, we're going to be untouchable. We have 70% of the out of warranty work. Watch it grow, because we are going to give confidence to people to come to work for us and to want us to fix their car and to make it safe and to make it reliable as technology continues to outpace what people don't even know what it takes to fix their car. So God bless what you're doing, and for Shari and David to be here, if you will, shoring that up. I thank you for this.
Yeah. And guys, I think those people listening, some of them are going to be a little bit overwhelmed, you know, when we start talking about all these different methods of interviewing and doing assessments and strength finders and all that. There are people out there, right? Shari, myself, there are people that can help you through that. We want to be the leaders and the coaches that we wish we had back when we started figuring this stuff out, you know, 10 years or so ago.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Anybody can do it if they've got the want to.
Right. And there's different resources that are right for different people. I think that the difference comes in the personality of the trainer, the coach, the facilitator. And so I think there's different assessments. I'm cautious, and I caution people about some of the free ones online because it wasn't trademarked and it kind of takes you off. I've taken some of them. I get a little frustrated just taking them. I'm like, no, that's not right. So because it's such intimate work, you want to get it right. It's really important. So find somebody like Dave or someone that's out there that really knows. And I think it's cool, Dave, you know the automotive industry. So you know the business that they're in. You know the turmoil or the chaos or the challenges that someone like Sean, that hasn't done the work Sean's done yet, that's shifting over to people first, that you can help them, you know what they need to do. And I think that's really valuable in our industry.
I'm just an old car guy, right? This, and I've figured out how to do some
There's
of this
no just
stuff.
In that.
Yeah.
I was fortunate. My uncle owns a consulting firm out here in New Jersey called Gutman Developmental Strategies. And he was the one that originally actually was one of his consultants that said, here, I want you to go home and I want you to take this Strength Finder assessment and then we could sit down and talk. So this is something that came from the corporate world that I was unaware of.
Yeah.
Right. And that was 2011. Right. It's been surreal just understanding and learning about myself that, I mean, I was finding all kinds of assessments, right? Online, I did one for leadership. I did one for emotional intelligence. I did one for Sally Hogshead did your fascination advantage or something like that. There's just a bunch of these, right? But you really, I think the hardest part was going through all the pages that come with it. I've never been really a good reader. I like to listen to Audible, right? So maybe I'll follow along with a book, but I usually get sidetracked and my brain goes off to the left field when my eyes are moving on the words. The biggest and hardest part was to really go through all the assessments and just like knock out all the little areas or highlight things that I either agreed or disagreed with. Why do I? And then really digging in and doing the work, it takes something. And having somebody like one of you guys to be able to help facilitate that probably would have sped this process up for me.
Or made it more painful. Let's be real.
Well, on the other side of pain, there's something that you get out of it, right? So if I could have gotten it sledgehammered into me instead of having to string it along for as long as I did, it would have, it probably would have, you know.
I love like that.
Keep poking yourself with a needle.
Like that he asked for it. I like that he asked for it.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, all the best things in life are just on the other side of that pain, you know?
That's right. You got to knock the wall down. You got to knock the wall down.
Yeah, Sean's famous sledgehammer quote. I love that. Yeah. You know, after I took Clifton StrengthsFinders and I found out that ideation was in my top five, and, you know, to your point, Sean, here I'm reading a book and I have to have a yellow pad next to me because every time I would read a paragraph, I say, oh, what a great idea. Or it prompted something in my mind and I'm always writing down. I read a book and I have like 8 pages of notes that came off the book because I can't stop thinking of, if you will, the possibilities. And to your point, Shari, about really a good disc, I'll never forget a great friend of mine, HR specialist, gave me a textbook that was this thick on disc. And I still have it. And it's as if maybe Shari has it and she's ready to
time
show
to blow
us.
It up.
I am. I'm grabbing it like off my desk because.
Wow.
And that's what those tests online, it's like it touches the first 3 pages and it's dangerous.
So let's go around the room. Sean, what can we say to our audience about the power and the value of knowing your strengths?
I think knowing your strengths and your team's strengths, it's something that has made a tremendous impact on my business. And it's given me the confidence ability to look for that second shop and have the team that's engaged, that knows their position, that knows the role they're playing, that knows where we're going with this, to really have the buy-in and know that they're a part of the family, right? It really, I think, pulls everybody together. That sums it up. It's like it brings everybody together. It ties the culture tight. And we all really authentically know who we are. Those days that may or may not be the best days, regardless of something maybe happened at home or your kid broke a leg or whatever the case is, we're all there to support each other when those emotions come up and understand how our brains take over sometimes, let's say, and have us be someone that we know we're not, where you have the team around you that really knows who you are and can kind of sometimes bring you back home or understand what you're going through in the moment, which really makes most of the time the difference that flips you back into action.
Wow, how cool. Dave?
I have in the past been guilty of this, and I think a lot of business owners have. They want to hire people like them, somebody they want to go have a beer with. And I'm here to tell you that's a big mistake. You know, guys like me that are high Ds, we need the high C person working for us, the high compliance person that annoys the heck out of us high Ds. Right. But we need those people to build a complete team. The best elite teams possible require a lot of different types of behavioral styles. And we just got to quit trying to hire somebody just because we want to go have a beer with them.
Very good. Very good. Straight. That was a straight shooter. Shari, your final words. Clean this up for us here. Put a bow on it.
Oh, Bo, look, more than half the employees are willing to leave you right now for a better culture. And it may not even get as much money as they're getting right now with you to get that better culture. And they're going to do it. Research shows it. We're reading the data. That's what we're seeing. So I think as leaders, it's time for us to recalibrate. That's a great, right, automotive word is recalibrate. It's time to like reconsider and reconnect and reengage. So I know you've been a leader for a long time and leaders feel like I've been running it. It's okay. Why can't I keep doing it this way? Well, look around. There's businesses that aren't even open right now because they can't get the employees. And employees have reconsidered. They've decided that work-life balance is important. They've decided that it's not about entitlement with millennials. It's about particularity. I'm particular about the leader that I work for, and I'm not going to be engaged for somebody that doesn't have a bigger picture for me, that doesn't have something where I have meaning in life with what I do. Automotive people provide convenience, right? Automotive shops. Landscaping provides a beautiful place for you to have your family. Every business has some way, even process servers, right? They're the good guys that get the bad guys caught. So if we can look at our businesses as providing a meaningful place for our team to make a difference in this world, and we care about them and we develop them, we'll have a line waiting out our door like Sean does.
That's right.
There you go.
A line out the door. I love it. We talked about a workplace motivation that was Town Hall Academy 260, and Sean was on a show on culture, episode 255, with Russ Crosby, and they actually talked about the story where Russ allowed you to go to the Dominican. Now, that's a great friend inside the industry. And you know what? More and more, those networks are forming, you know, regional and citywide networks of independence. And boy, this industry is on fire. And we're all learning to be so much better at everything that we do. And I think it's a great time and a great industry to be in right now. Wow, this was great. I love this. We could go on forever. And thank God I never read all my strengths, or at least told you what my worst one was.
Come on, what are the worst five?
That's not as important as the top five, I'll tell you that.
Or the 10 you're in love with now.
Or the 10 that I'm in love with, yes. Sean Gilfillan, shop owner, Automotive Magic, New Jersey. Shari Pheasant, shop owner and of A Master Mechanic, Reno, Nevada, and the CEO of IAmHorsepower.com. And Dave Luhr, Elite Body Shop Solutions, and the Limitless Entrepreneur, Speaker, Coach, and Author. Listen, I'll make sure, Shari, Dave, that your websites are on the show notes page if anyone wants to connect or get with you. If you want to send your email to me, I'll include that too. Thank you so much for being here on the Town Hall Academy.
Carm, thank you for having the discussions we need to have. I appreciate everything you do in the industry. You are a leader.
Hey, Carm, you're the man.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks guys.
Nice to meet you too.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.